I want to apologize that there are some breaks in the audio of this sermon. It was a part of a service that was on Facebook Live, and due to network limitations, there were those breaks in the audio. We will have that corrected for our next sermon as a part of the Facebook Live service on Sunday, the 22nd of March. God bless you. Here's the sermon.
I find that this is a very interesting situation that Jesus finds himself in. This follows right in the footsteps of Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus in the shadows of the night in John 3. Here, Jesus is meeting with a Samaritan woman, the long despised Samaritan, friends of the Jewish people. Many devout Jewish men would not ever have allowed themselves to be alone with a woman, let alone a Samaritan woman, and certainly not in conversation with her. Now, ever since some of the Jewish exiles came back from Babylon, they found that the central section of their ancient land was occupied by a group of people who claimed to be the true descendants of Abraham and who were against the return of the exiles. Now, since that time, there'd been some constant trouble between the two groups. Some had broken out into physical skirmishes and maybe even into murder. But mostly it was a simple matter of not mixing together. The Jews wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans, and the Samaritans wouldn't have anything to do with the Jews, and vice versa. It even went so far as they wouldn't even share eating and drinking vessels with each other. But here, in today's gospel message, we have Jesus asking this Samaritan woman at a very important drink. But furthermore, she has a questionable reputation. The normal time for a woman to come to Jacob's well, which was a distance from the center of town, would be at a cooler time of the day, most likely first thing in the morning or later in the afternoon. Well, this woman has come to the well at a time when she figures nobody's going to be there. She wouldn't run into anybody. And if she did run into anybody, maybe they wouldn't know her past, her immoral lifestyle. The last thing she would want to do would be to rub shoulders with other women of the town, and they probably felt the same way about her. And Jesus knows all about this, but still, he engages in a conversation with her. And so Jesus is asking her for a drink, and he tells this woman that she should have asked him for one. She surprisingly thinks it's in the usual sense. Now, Jesus tells her that if she really knew who she was talking to, that he would give her living water. Now, let me clarify what living water means. In the first century Israel, they would call living water water that was moving in a stream or a river rather than in a pool or a well. Water that would be fresh, moving, and clean. That's what living water was. Not that's been standing around getting stagnant. More importantly, Jesus isn't referring to physical water, whether still or moving. He's referring to new life that he's offering anyone at all, no matter what their gender, their geography, their racial or moral background. What Jesus says is about living water. This living water makes it clear he's talking about something quite different. Not only will the water he's offering quench your thirst, you'll never be thirsty again, he says, but it will also cause a spring that is bubbling up inside of you, refreshing life coming to the world, coming into the world with Jesus, not alone, life of the whole new world that God is making through him. Now, this woman was fascinated by Jesus' offer of living water, and she asked to have some, not realizing that if you want to be able to take up Jesus' offer of running pure water, you need to come to him. This water bubbling up inside of you, you have to get rid of the stale, moldy, stagnant water that you've been living off of all this time. In her case, it was her married life, or rather, her unmarried life. Jesus knew exactly what her life was like and what was going on right up to the minute. This woman apparently had a life filled with one emotional upheaval after another, with enough husbands coming and going to keep all the gossips of this village babbling for weeks. I guess that her various marriages ended in divorce, whether legal or informal, and not with the death of the baby. Now, we don't know what's happened in her life to bring us to this, to bring her to this point that has made it harder for her to have lasting relationships, but she knew that her life was a mess, and she knew that Jesus knew it too. And he even told her so in detail. Jesus made it clear to her that it wasn't important where you worshiped. The Samaritans believed Mount Gerizim was God's holy mountain. And the Jews, of course, believed that Mount Zion in Jerusalem with the temple was where they should worship. Jesus did not mince words with this woman. He told her, and I quote from the gospel, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared to her, "I who speak to you am he." With this in her mind, she left her jar at the well and went back to town to tell others who she just met. Can you imagine what that must have been like, coming and meeting the Savior of the world in person? Well, you know, this must not have been an easy conversation for her, Jesus, but we know who he is. But I think we need to understand that there are three levels that Jesus overcame in dealing with this Samaritan woman. The first is the gender barrier. Jewish rabbis would never be seeing a woman in public. And they wouldn't even speak to their wives or daughters outside of the privacy of their homes. Many would even close their eyes or block their eyes from view when they saw a woman in the street. Second, there's the racial barrier, Jews versus Samaritans, which Jesus unquestionably crossed in order to get not only to the heart of the matter, but to change this woman's heart. And lastly, Jesus overcame the social barrier. Being a rabbi, being a teacher, people viewed him with respect, at least those who heard his teachings or witnessed or heard of the miracles that he performed. His reputation was unquestionable, while this woman's reputation was more questionable. She was a social outcast, and Jesus speaking to her would have left him open to charges of breaking the unspoken rules of social etiquette. When the apostles returned, as the gospel tells us, they were surprised that he was talking to her, but not one of them asked why he was talking to her. This woman had been deeply touched by Jesus' talk with her, and her testimony to the townspeople had a remarkable, tremendous effect. Listen to these words from today's Holy Gospel from John chapter 39 to 42. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Jesus had crossed those barriers just as he, his word, and his people, believers, do today. True believers in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah, are following his example to step out of our comfort zones, to interact with people who are radically different from ourselves and carry his message of true love into neighborhoods, cities, countries, and hearts where people mostly need him. It may not be to a foreign country. It may be the people next door or across the street who clearly do not have Jesus leading in their lives. You see, when we are truly devoted to sharing the good news and love of Jesus Christ with others, the Holy Spirit will help us to overcome any barriers, and that includes the coronavirus. This is about faith and truth and trust in the Lord. Let us continue to be an example to one another and to others, praying and caring for those who've been affected by this illness, taking the precautions that we need to do, overcoming barriers, washing our hands, staying out of crowds, and not veering off of the message of faith and trust. The Apostle Paul had it right when he wrote the words that I read and prayed at the very beginning of this message in Romans 8, 39. He wrote, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord."